One of the things that I fear the most is that I won't finish strong. I don't want to do anything to disrupt what God has been doing in my life for over 45 years plus now. From the time that He allowed my parents to conceive and I was born, He was up to something. And just like He was up to you in a big way, up to something in your life as well. We don't want to get 20 yards from the finish line, stumble and fall, do we? Dr. Gray Allison used to teach us, and he's gone home to be with the Lord now. He said that, young men, it takes you a lifetime to develop a testimony for the Lord. And it can only take you 5 minutes to ruin that testimony. And so we have to be careful that once we've begun the race, that we lean on the Lord and trust in the Lord to help us to finish strong. And He who has begun a good work in you will complete it, will finish it, to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we lean on Him, if we trust in Him, He'll help us to finish strong. We talked about salvation, probably 4 weeks ago or five now. And then we talked about calling in Isaiah chapter 6, how the Lord has called us into a high and holy calling, and we need to respond to that and understand that He is still on the throne, that He's still able to work out what He is up to. He's not sitting up there with His hands wringing them, worried about what's going on planet Earth. God is got a purpose and a plan, and He's going to establish that and finish that as He sees fit. And so tonight I want to continue the thought that we've started about what God is doing, God's purposes, God's plans, as it relates to a very unique passage of Scripture. I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 13. Now, I would imagine you probably never heard a sermon from this chapter. Now, if you have, you've probably forgotten all the details. This is a very unique passage of Scripture, but it deals with God's called person, God's called man, who did so well in the beginning, and then he fumbled the ball. After he started so well, he didn't make the finish line. He didn't end well. And I sure want to end well. We were having coffee with some friends this afternoon that we hadn't seen in I don't know how long. Maybe 10, 12 years. They happened to be in Stillwell, and they dropped by. And her husband passed away 2 years ago with cancer. And her son was bringing her back to Stillwell to finish up some business with the family property. And they came by our house, and we just sat and talked. And I said, tell me, how did Jay finish out? And she told me how God had just blessed him with a great attitude towards the end as he was suffering with that cancer. How God just, the glory of God shone through his life. And he would take time for all the children and grandchildren and bring them into his room. And right up till the end, he brought every one of them in there and blessed them. Put his hand on their hand and he blessed them. And he prayed for them. And he just wanted to pass on the promises of God and that God had a plan for his children and grandchildren. And she said that night that when he passed, they were all there at the house and she was holding his hand. She said, and he had been out of it for 48 hours. And she said, I knew it was about to happen. She said something to him about going home, and he opened his eyes. And she said, he wasn't looking at me. He wasn't looking at anything in the room. He was just looking up. She said, and she's a nurse. She said, I'd never seen anybody leave like he left. Smile came on his face. He was looking expectantly with his eyes, and then all of a sudden, he was gone. She said, and that was the way his face stayed after Jesus came and got him. I want to finish like that. Oh, he was a rounder when he started, let me tell you. He was a rounder, but he finished well. And so we want to caution ourselves about stumbling and falling out of the race and not getting to where we should, because every one of us could step away from where we're supposed to be. We could move out of the race that God's called us to, the purpose that God has for our life. Some of you know that when Billy Graham started, there were three other young men, and all of the pundits of the day, all of the people, the analysts of the day, thought they had more potential than Billy Graham. As a matter of fact, Charles Templeton, everybody wanted to hear him speak. He died an agnostic, borderline atheist, left the faith years and years before, walked away from God. Folks, it matters how we finish. I want the legacy to be that I finished well. I want to finish strong. So in 1 Kings chapter 13, and if I could, I just want to read parts of this. Can you stop where I stop and not read on? Can you do that? Because you probably hadn't read this in a long time. And I want to have the element of surprise, okay? So as we read this, will you stop and look up, and then we'll read on a little further. But I want to talk about being a flame today and a flicker tomorrow. I don't want to be a flash in the pan, do you? I want to be a force for God. So let's read the first 10 verses. Y'all are faster readers than me. Don't read ahead, please. Here we go. All right. Chapter 13, verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Now stop right there and look right up here at me. See, I caught you already. Jeroboam has my mind just slipped. He has the northern kingdom. Rehoboam has Judea, and he has Israel. That's the area above Judah, above Jerusalem. And so what he's done is, in order to keep the people from going down to Jerusalem and worshiping, he has taken Bethel and Dan, and he's made those places a place of worship, and he's built altars, and he's made men to be priests of the lowest people of the land. The most despicable people of the land are now offering sacrifices. And now he, the king, has stepped out of line, and he is offering at those altars too, contrary to what God has established in the land of Israel. And so he's breaking all kinds of God's laws, and I promise you, God is angry with what's going on in that time. And God has got a word for Jeroboam. He's going to confront Jeroboam with what he's been doing, how he's leading the people away from Yahweh worship, from the worship of the one true God. And so God sends this man, a man of God, out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam standing by the altar burning incense. And he cried against the altar, verse 2, in the word of the Lord. And said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David. Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. Now here's the king offering incense upon his altar. Now he's trying to get the people to go to and worship there, not Jerusalem. And the man of God says, "Oh, altar, there's going to be a man coming named Josiah, and he is going to offer the men, the priests, bodies upon this altar." Don't you think that got the king's attention? Huh. Who's this young whippersnapper preacher coming in here telling me stuff that I don't want to hear? Saying things like this is contrary to my will, what I'm trying to get accomplished. Don't you know any time that you find someone walking in wickedness and they hear God's word, it hits them like a knife in the chest. Someone walking away from God, it ought to bring conviction to them when the man of God speaks the word. That's why I don't worry too much about people that might come up to me and have come up to me after I've preached a message that's hard and say to me, "Boy, preacher, you sure hit me hard today." No, I don't worry too much about that. "Boy, you need to, cool your heels a little bit, preacher." Nothing happened like that today, by the way. Nothing. But I have had it. I've had a deacon's wife stand at the back door and tell me how she didn't really want to hear me. She was going to step out next Sunday and watch Dallas Cowboys instead of come to church. I can hear you anytime, Brother Joe. This is at my first church. And she just needed to get saved. That's all needed to happen for her. She just needed to get saved. But when God's man comes and he has a word from the Lord and it pierces that person, they get upset, but they're getting upset at God and his word, not at the man of God. We need to understand that. Well, this hit him between the eyes. The Bible said, "And he gave a sign the same day," that is the man of God, "saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent and be torn, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when the king Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him." He had a paralyzed hand all of a sudden when he reached out to come against the man of God. The altar also was rent. There's the sign. Came true. And the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given up by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, "Entreat now the face of the Lord your God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again." And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again, and became as it was before. Now these are miracles that are happening. God sent a man to preach against the king and his wickedness, and when he preached, the king is fired up, mad, and he reaches for that, I don't know, he's going to punch him, going to grab him, whatever he's going to do. And as soon as he does that, his hand withers up. That ought to get his attention, don't you think? I was down in Mississippi for 4 years pastoring at a church there, and they had a camp meeting not far from there called Camp Zion. You can buy a book that talks about the things that God did at Camp Zion down in Mississippi. Years and years ago, there was a guy by the name of Percy Ray. Percy Ray was preaching one night at this camp meeting. Percy Ray's the guy that would go lay down in the field, and he might pray all day long. And one time, the church needed some property to build on, and the people wouldn't sell it. And so Brother Percy just went out there and laid down in the field and began to pray that God would give him that land. The people drove up on the property while he was laying there, walked out there and said, "Are you the preacher?" He said, "Yes, I am." They said, "Well, we're supposed to give you this land. He was preaching one night at Camp Zion. You can read about it. And they had three or four preachers, Bible conference style. And somewhere in the middle of that, they realized someone had stolen a cassette player, like a boombox. They used to, you know, some people sang by that. You've done it before. And so you played the tape and you sang. Well, they realized it was gone. Somebody had stolen it. Brother Percy stopped the meeting and he prayed, "Oh God, I pray whoever that was, you will wither their hand up that took that cassette player." About 30, 45 minutes, a guy walked back in, holding that in one hand, and his hand was withered up. He said, "I came to bring this back. I think I made a mistake." And they prayed, and the man's hand was workable again. God can do that. I've been praying that God would wither some hands in like places like Michigan and Pennsylvania. I have been. Get their attention. God knows how to get people's attention, doesn't He? If they're doing wrong, He knows how to get their attention. This Jeroboam was not a believer. He was as far from that as it comes. He's worshiping Baal. He is a worshiper of all the evil in his day. And God's man comes and gets his number. And he says, oh man of God, could you pray for me that God will restore my hand back to me?" And it came back to him and was restored to him as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, "Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward." And the man of God said unto the king, "If you will give me half your house, I will not go in with you, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel." Now look right up here. If you read on, you're gonna miss the surprise. In our life, God gives us orders that we are commanded to obey. When God calls us, we're supposed to do what God says to do. How many of you agree with that? Uh-huh. You and I are supposed to do what God says. Not what I say, but what God says. If God tells you to do something from His Word, you're reading it, you're hearing it taught, you're hearing it preached, and God is now convincing you, convicting you in your heart, you need to do this. You better do it. If He says you better reach in your pocket and get some money, you better reach in your pocket. You need to go to somebody and you need to ask forgiveness, you better do it. If He speaks to you about love, if He speaks to you about forgiveness, if He speaks to you about service, whatever it looks like, you better do it. Because that's what God said. This prophet had heard the word of the Lord. He had been in communication with God. God said, "I want you to go to the king. I want you to do this." He went and he did it. He obeyed the voice of the Lord. In fact, in verse 6, he even seeks further instruction or direction from the Lord about the king's hand. God tells him that it's okay, and he heals the man's hand. He did not compromise the mission. When the king tried to persuade him to go back home with him, and he's going to give him half of his kingdom, he said, "I can't do it." He said, "Even if you gave me half, I couldn't do it. It's not what God has told me to do." See, we have, just like this man of God, general commands from the Lord to obey. We're supposed to witness. We're supposed to go on mission. We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We're supposed to live sexually pure lives. This is general obedience for every Christian. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. We're supposed to be people of prayer. We're supposed to be people of the Word. Be in the Word. We're supposed to honor those people who have been put over us in authority. positions. And it goes on and on. We're supposed to keep the Sabbath day. We're supposed to worship God, go to church. We're supposed to not kill or murder. We're supposed to have good communication, not foul communication come out of our mouths. We're supposed to be kind. The list goes on and on and on. We're to not commit adultery. We're to not take the name of the Lord in vain. There are general things that we're all supposed to obey. Yes? There are also specific things for us to obey, aren't there? For me, I was supposed to be a preacher. God called me to preach. 24 years ago, He called me to preach. Coming up 24 years ago in April, sitting over about where Daryl's sitting, and I was in my fourth year in college. I was going to be I'm a criminal justice major with administration of justice option. I was wanting to get my bachelor's, go into the military. I was going to come out of the Northeastern, going into military as an officer. That was my plan. I wanted to be CIA, FBI, something like that. I mean, I had these illustrious plans. And God spoke to my heart on a revival night. I want you to preach. As clear as you and I are talking tonight, I want you to preach. And I got up from that and I came down front and I surrendered to preach. That is God's specific will for my life. For me to marry Rebecca, I prayed through that too. She prayed through that. That is God's. It's not your. Believe me, it's not your. The will of God for you to be married to Rebecca. It's God's will for me to be married to Rebecca. It's God's will for me specifically to be pastoring this church right now. Yeah. This is where I'm supposed to be specifically. I can't be in Canada. I can't be in Florida. I can't be in Hawaii pastoring a church there. God wants me here. This is where He's called me to. That's specific. I have to do what God has called me to do. For you, maybe, lawyer, banker, candlestick maker, whatever it is God's called you to, you better do what God specifically has called you to. Amen or not? Y'all are all still with me, aren't you? We got to obey God's commands. And if we do, we can be a force for God. We can be a tool in the hand. We have a flame for God. Even an amazing force that God can use in this world if we'll just listen and obey. But on the journey, there'll be temptations for us to go astray. Look at verses 11 through 22. Now, there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. His sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his son, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him the ass and rode thereon. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread or drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as you are. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into the house, into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and have eaten bread and drunk water in this place of that which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread, drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulcher of thy father. Stop right there. So here is the man of God. He's done, up to this point, he's done everything right. Would y'all agree with that? Everything right. God's blessed it, hasn't he? God has had a word for that king, and I guarantee the king never forgot what God said to him on that occasion, on that day. But along the way, there are temptations that will derail the person of God and can even derail the work of God. How many times has that happened? How many times has somebody, I mean, they got it right. They're doing it right. And the man of God, the woman of God, they move in a direction that God said, oh, don't go there. And it's their life is just completely ruined by the decision, one decision that they made. I don't have to apply that. I think the Holy Spirit can take that and He can apply that in your heart. You know what we're talking about. And think about all the people that we know that when they made that decision, the work of God crumbled where He was using them. Yes or no? You're probably thinking of a preacher right now, somebody you probably followed, and they made a decision, whether it was sexual immorality or money or something else. They got on TV and they went crazy because everybody's watching now. And the work of God just dwindled. Let me just say that even the oldest and wisest of men don't compare with the infinite wisdom of God. You cannot listen to a voice that says something opposite of God. You can't. To the old prophet, he was acting in his own interest. I want you to hear that. He was acting in his interests, not in the interests of the Lord. At first, he might not have realized the consequences of his deceivement, but his counsel brought devastating results. We have to understand that even people that mean well in our lives, listen to me, that mean well to me and mean well for you, may destroy or devastate what God is up to in our lives if we don't follow God. There's a thousand voices out there that want to pull you in a different direction, and they mean well. But you got to listen to God. You have to. It's a better position. Man, it's more money. Think about all that that you could do over here for good. But did God say to do it? Did God say it was okay? Listen to me. My wife and I have more than one time said to the Lord in prayer, Lord Jesus, if you're not down that road, we don't want to go down it. Well, it's a good road. It's a good road. Man, it was a road, Brother John, that anybody would want to go down. But if Jesus is not down that road for us, we don't want to go down that road. When we built our house 10 years ago in September, we prayed, Lord, we don't know. And I'm telling you, my father, as good a man as I know, and as wise as I know, we went to him and said, Dad, what do you think? He said, man, I tell you what, I'm going to give you 5 acres. You ought to build there. Everything felt right, looked right. I mean, it's easier than falling off the log backwards, you know what I'm saying? But we wanted to make sure that Jesus was down that road. Because if he's not down that road, we don't want to build that house. We don't want to plant our roots right there. We live in a trailer house. We live in some pretty bad places. And we decided whatever the Lord wants, that's what we want. He let us do it. Man, I can't tell you. You all know. You just can't explain when you've done what God has told you to do, how satisfying that is. Amen or not? When you know, man, this is what God, it doesn't matter if it's your job, if it's retirement, if it's something you're buying, if it's a person that you are marrying, whatever it is, it's a calling in your life to teach, whatever it is, you know that's so satisfying when you do what God tells you to do, isn't it? But wasn't there some other people trying to get to do something else? Am I right or wrong? Wasn't there somebody else saying, man, think about this? I told you the story before, but it bears hearing again. I have a good friend. I baptized him and his wife and most of his children. And he came to me many years ago, and he said, Brother Joe, we want to get into the chicken business. And we're going to borrow $1.2 million. I said, man, you are on fire for the Lord. Your kids are serving the Lord here in the church. You and your wife are... We ate waffles at their house almost every Sunday night. And then I would kick back in the recliner, having eaten all that, and he would just talk, and I would go to sleep, him talking to me, almost every Sunday night. We were buddies. I said, and I tell you what, it looks good. Sounds good. I mean, you are going to make a lot of money doing that. I said, but you're going to give up a whole lot of your time, your schedule, to your family, to your church. That's 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I don't care what you think. That's what that is. I said, you need to think about that. And on top of your schedule, you need to think about the debt you're placing on your life. Within 6 months, they were gone. You couldn't find them at church. My phone's not turned off. Yeah. Let me tell you something. They've not gotten hooked back up 15 to 18 years later. I said, you got to make sure Jesus is down that road. This young prophet, this young man of God, listened to the wrong voice. See, for him, he was not supposed to go back the way he came. That was what God told him. Don't go back the way you came. Don't stop and eat. Don't get a drink. Don't do it. He was sitting under a tree when they found him. I'm telling you, sometimes giving in to fatigue might end up in failure. Are y'all listening to me? Stopping at the wrong time might wind up in failure. You have to be so careful. On the journey, when you disobey the Lord, you become an offense to God. You become irritable to men. You become a curse and not a blessing to those around you. And you will end up being riddled with guilt. If you're a Christian and you don't obey on the journey like you're supposed to, it doesn't just affect you. So the decisions that we make on the journey that we're on have huge consequences. They'll make your future. Listen to the final verses. And it came to pass in verse 23, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk water, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. His carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. When the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, "It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him." Now you say, "Brother Joe, that is awfully, awfully hard what God did. That is terrible what God did." Sometimes, listen to me very carefully, sometimes our disobedience has grave consequences. Not always will it end this way, but there will always be consequences to our disobedience. Sometimes they can be very, very bad. It can be bad for our children. It can be bad for our spouse. It can be bad for those in our church family if our lives don't reflect obedience. See, the decisions that we make will make our future. You see, when God speaks to you, I promise that when God has a word for you, there will always be an alternative. You have to be very careful. And intersections in life are there to help us become dependent on God. Not to think independently of God, but to be dependent on God. I have a lot of intersections in my life. As I look back over my 45 years, there's been a lot, and I have not always chosen the right intersection, believe me. Oh God, thank you for being merciful. I'm so glad. There are some intersections where I've chosen correctly. And oh, the power of God that is on our lives when we choose correctly. See, our response to God will be what determines whether we're a force or whether we're a flash in a pan. Will you remember tonight that you're made by the Master and you're made for His purpose? Will you remember that? And when He speaks, we've got to learn to listen and obey. This is not just stuff for grade school kids or elementary students. Listen and obey is for adults too, isn't it? The song we sing, "Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." Yeah. One of my favorite people that I've ever worked with in the world is with Jesus. But I'm telling you, I think he had a premature death. He was one of my favorite people to work with. God had called him into the youth ministry, and he said, I'm all in. After 2 or 3 years, there was a Y in the road. He could either go with his job that was going to send him out on from Texas then into New Mexico, and he was climbing the ladder to making lots of money. And he moved away from his calling. And who would fault him for going to make more money? I mean, really, who would fault him for that? But he stepped out on what God had called him to do. His family suffered, and then he suffered. And he's younger than me, if he is still alive. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that's thinking about a move. You know, in a church this size with, you know, people and all kinds of work and stuff, I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that's thinking about some move, some big decision you're going to make. Make sure that Jesus is down that road. It could be that this week there's going to be a new option for you and something. You better make sure that Jesus is down that road. If First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas calls me this week needing a pastor, I promise you, this is where God has called me to be. I'd have to hear from God to move from here, not from man. I'd have to spend a lot of time on my knees. Please, please, trust and obey the Lord. We've been saved. We have purpose. We've got to keep our focus on Jesus. Keep our eyes on the prize, the finish. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I forget those things which are behind, and I press towards that mark. I've not attained, but I'm seeking after what God has called me to do. Amen? Isn't that what we're doing? I want to finish well. Don't you want to finish well? I want to finish well. Let's pray. Father, man, Lord, you've had some great, great servants that we can emulate, like Paul or like Billy Graham or Corrie Ten Boom, and the list could go on and on. People in this congregation, that loved ones that have gone on before, blessed memories that we have. What great people we have to follow. And Lord, you have a marked out path for us to go. And I pray that each one of us will be very careful that we'll not get off track. We'll not move in a direction, Lord, that you have not called us to go. I pray, Father, that you'll help us to stay focused. There can be 1,000 voices, Lord, but help us to hear yours and to be obedient. I just pray this, Father, over this congregation, those listening online. There may be somebody that's thinking about an adjustment, a move in a direction that they shouldn't go. it looks good, it sounds good, Lord, it may even feel good, but it's not what you want. I pray you'll help them to think long, hard, pray hard about this so they don't mess up. And Lord, when we get to glory someday, may every one of us be able to hear you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter ye into my rest." I pray, Lord, that is what we'll hear you say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's just stand together and let's sing together a song. Miss Dana, lead us in a couple of verses of a song, whatever you got there, and we'll be dismissed.